The reading is taken from Matthew chapter 5, beginning to read at verse 43. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbour and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. Because he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. In the 1970s, the leader of the black consciousness movement that attempted to remove the black man's inferiority complex and poor self-image, caused in part by white rule in apartheid South Africa, he was arrested and kept naked and in poor conditions in solitary confinement. He was savagely beaten by a group of white police officers, yet despite having significant head injuries and incoherent speech, he received no medical attention. Only after he was found foaming at the mouth did security police decide to take him to hospital. But even then, they put him in the back of a van, naked, and instead of taking him to a nearby hospital, they instead drove him 700 miles away to a hospital in Pretoria, giving him only a prison blanket and a bottle of water for the 11-hour journey. Unsurprisingly, the man whom a friend described as the most remarkable man he had ever met lay dead on a stone floor a few hours after arriving in Pretoria. Steve Biko was just 30 years of age when he was murdered by his enemies. Sadly, this is how humanity naturally treats those it regards as its enemies. As we come to the last talk in our series about responding to the coronavirus pandemic, today we look at the theme of love. Love is a response we all need to have before, during, and after this crisis. But I suspect as the lockdown continues and as we come out of the worst of this pandemic, it will become perhaps the hardest response to sustain of them all. With people's passive aggressiveness on our streets and in our supermarkets, frustrations with some people not following the government guidelines as perhaps we think they should, with a lack of PPE for NHS workers and politicians suggesting equipment be reused or used more sparingly, with cabin fever growing worse by the day, and families, especially those with young children and perhaps no garden, being stuck at home with each other, it will become increasingly difficult to not regard those around us as enemies, including even members of our own families. And of course, none of us find it easy to love those whom we feel are or regard as enemies. Well, towards the end of Matthew chapter 5 of his famous Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives two reasons why love rather than hate is the answer in such situations. The second reason comes in verses 46 and 47 of Matthew chapter 5, and is because to love only your friends is simply to imitate the pagan world around you. To love simply your friends is to imitate the world. And there's nothing particularly distinctive about loving those who love you back, says Jesus. Our self-righteous indignation does not and will not change the fact that even a group of drug-dealing human traffickers may also be the very same group of people who also often show a genuine love and loyalty to their own kind. Jesus basically says as much in verse 46. But I simply want to focus on one other point and some of its applications from verse 43 to 45 today. And it is this: to love your enemies is to imitate God. To love your friends is worldly, is to imitate the world. But to love your enemies is to imitate God himself. I think after this crisis has passed, we are going to need to remember this truth, possibly more than any other. To love your enemies is to imitate God. Nowhere in the Old Testament does it say, love your neighbour and hate your enemy. And yet, in verse 43 of Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says to God's people, even though this is essentially what you've been wrongly taught by your spiritual leaders, by my authority, I say to you, verse 44, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. If you open the natural default setting of the window of the human heart, you will find written there the word legalist. You see, the spiritual leaders of God's people, Israel, that is, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, were basically legalistic racists. They taught that my neighbour was only the person who belonged to my own ethnic or religious group. They perversely concluded that when the Old Testament says, love your neighbour, it was not talking about people who were cultural strangers to you or your religious beliefs. And it is certainly not talking about your enemies. Therefore, since the law only says, love my neighbours, it must be okay, indeed it will be right, to therefore hate everyone else. Of course, this sort of logic is only okay if you are a pedantic rule keeper who knows nothing of the power of God's Spirit at work in your life. And yet, having said that, as you read the Old Testament, you will discover that it is possible to so identify with the Lord your God that you hate all those who are collectively opposed to him. So in Psalm 139, for example, David, the Lord's special or chosen king, could write this: do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Psalm 139, verses 21 and 22. So as in the case of anger, there is such a thing as righteous hatred. Yet there are other Old Testament passages that make it clear that on an individual and personal level, the average Israelite was called upon by the law to love and show consideration to the alien, the stranger, or the person in need living among them. So in the same chapter where they are exhorted to love rather than take revenge against a neighbour, they are also taught to love the alien living among them as they love themselves. Leviticus chapter 19. The book of Proverbs even says, if your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. And interestingly, in Romans chapter 12, in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul quotes this proverb in the context of living at peace with others while warning against seeking revenge. The point is, verse 43 of Matthew chapter 5 was an oversimplification of what the Old Testament actually taught about loving your neighbours. It was a nice soundbite, but not particularly true. Jesus says you and I have to reach that place where we are ready and willing to actively love even those who hate us. And the great acid test will be this. Can you bring yourself to truly pray for someone who has intentionally hurt you or whom you regard as an enemy? Look at verse 44. But I tell you, says Jesus, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Personally, I fear for our country once, Lord willing, we are through the worst of this virus. That's when the calls for various public inquiries will begin. Why was the lockdown not started sooner? Why wasn't there enough PPE or COVID-19 test kits to see who had the virus and who didn't? If only the government had done this or provided that, this person or that person would not have died. People will then start looking for someone to blame. And let's be honest, as the British, we're pretty good at blaming others, aren't we? Or looking to blame others. This health expert, that advisor, or this particular politician will become public enemy number one, when they were simply trying to do the best they could. Perhaps not without mistakes, but then what's the saying? To err is human. And of course, when you view someone as an enemy, your heart can be flooded with hatred rather than love. And on top of that, many will understandably be blinded by their very real grief. And of course, one of the stages of grief will be anger. Love and pray for your enemy, says Jesus. And notice, Jesus does not say like them. He says love them. Treat them as if you like them. The love Jesus is advocating here is more an act of the will than it is a feeling or an emotion. I have to say that only a true Christian can even begin to entertain what Jesus is saying here. But please notice why, as Christians, you and I are called upon to love even our enemies. Psychologists and sociologists will tell you that hatred breeds only more hatred, and that it consumes those who don't deal with it in some constructive way. Others will tell you that you can turn an enemy into a friend for life by being kind to them. Apparently, Abraham Lincoln had an arch enemy called Edwin Stanton. Stanton used all his energy to make Lincoln look bad in the public eye, even to the point of commenting on his physical appearance. Yet, knowing all this, when Lincoln was elected the 16th US president back in 1860, he appointed Stanton to a very key government position because, well, he was the best man for the job. After Lincoln was assassinated, Stanton movingly described him as one of the greatest men that ever lived, who now belongs to the ages. But notice, Jesus gives none of these reasons for loving your enemies. Rather, he says in verse 45, to love your enemies is to imitate your Father in heaven. The Bible describes the grace of God in two ways. First, there is God's saving grace. Recipients of this are people who, in the Sermon on the Mount, we are told, belong to the kingdom of heaven, because they have put their faith in the life, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is punished and dies on their behalf. so that they might be reconciled to God the Father through his death. They are the recipients of saving grace. Now, according to the Bible, not everyone is or will become a recipient of God's saving grace. You have to consciously turn away from your wrongdoing spiritually and physically and turn towards God, asking for his forgiveness and kingship over your entire life. If you have not done that, then you cannot reasonably call yourself a Christian or have any real assurance or confidence. So not everyone will or has taken this step of actively receiving saving grace. Can I plead with you, if you've not done that, to do so as soon as possible? We all, however, without exception, benefit from God's common grace, which is described to us in the latter half of verse 45 of Matthew chapter 5. Look at it with me. He, i.e. God, causes his Son to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Now, there is actually a because at the beginning of this sentence in the original. So the reason we are to love our enemies is, verse 45, that you may be children of your Father in heaven, because he causes his Son to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. The evil and the unrighteous are the same person. That is, the person who neither knows nor trusts in God or Jesus. Conversely, the good and the righteous are the same person. The person who trusts God and all that he has revealed about himself in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see what Jesus is saying? Imagine a world where only Christians could enjoy English summertime, while those who are not Christians are forced to walk around all day with a permanent, dark, rainy cloud hanging over their heads. Or imagine a world where only Christians benefited from life-saving NHS treatment. Do you see the point? Our Heavenly Father is not like that. He is kind and generous to all people everywhere, even allowing his Son to shine on his enemies, on those who hate him, mock him, ignore him, and live as if he doesn't even exist, and yet blames him and his followers for all that is wrong in the world. So an atheist like Richard Dawkins could find himself in hospital being operated on successfully by a Christian heart surgeon. Of course, the reverse often happens in life. But the point is, either way, this is an example of God's common grace. So can you see, to love your enemies or those who have hurt you in some way, whether intentionally or not, is to imitate God himself. He does not just limit his blessing to those who know and love him. But in addition, to love your enemies is also to model the good news that saved you, if you yourself are a Christian. It was while you and I were God's natural born enemies due to the virus of sin that infects all of us from birth that our Heavenly Father sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. Again, can you see why you and I are called by Jesus to love our enemies? It is nothing he was not willing to do himself. As Jesus hung on the cross, he prayed for his enemies who put him there. The 19th century poet Elizabeth Barrett Browning's parents disapproved so strongly of her marriage to Robert that they completely disowned her. And yet, almost weekly, she wrote love letters to her parents, longing to be reconciled to them. After 10 years of letter writing, Elizabeth apparently received a box in the post. To her utter dismay and heartbreak, That box contained all of her letters to her parents. Not one of them had ever been opened. Today, these love letters apparently are among the most beautiful in classical English literature. If only her parents had read even one or two of them, they might have allowed themselves to be ruled more by love than by hatred. You and I, no doubt, have been and will continue to be tempted to do what Elizabeth's parents did. But Jesus says, verse 44, love your enemies and pray for those who cause you pain. You and I are to love our enemies because in doing so we become imitators of God himself. Sons and daughters of our Father in heaven, while of course also modelling to the world around us and even to our enemies the gospel of God. Or in the words of Romans chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Verse 10, be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. I fear we will all desperately need to ask God the Holy Spirit to help us to actively remember this in the weeks and months ahead. To love our enemies is to imitate God. Let's bow our heads and pray together. Heavenly Father, in the days, weeks and months ahead, when we find hatred towards others, even those closest to us, simmering away in our own hearts, help us to remember these verses from the end of Matthew chapter 5. Help us to remember that it was while we were your enemies that you sent Jesus Christ to die for us. Help us also to remember that you are a God of lavish, common grace. And so by the supernatural power of your Holy Spirit, help us to demonstrate this common grace in our love for people around us, and even those we might consider our enemies. We ask these things knowing that we need your power and your strength to do them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.